fun, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelly and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPACGAFAIR or any of them there,
guys. That's about it. We'll speak for everybody else.
Yeah. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Ever.
As you will soon see. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Awesome.
Yes.
So...
Swassum?
Swassum. That's going to be my new one. Swassum. Sweet.
Dude.
You get that from the guys up in Tacoma.
Yeah.
The guys from 8 Days Clean. They say S-A-W-H-E-A-T. Sweet.
Nice.
I wish those guys hadn't broke up. I like them.
Yeah.
I like them a lot. But their music lives on. So.
What?
I'm waiting for Katie Yuck to come out here from London. Well, I don't even know she's in London. She's in the U.K.
Yeah.
But she should come out and visit. And Bill, shout out to you. Hope you're feeling better. If you get the chance to come down here, that would be awesome. Brian.
You know what? We could have a little Recovery 101
convention. A Recovery 101 convention.
I am not going to be on the committee.
I was going to say, you guys going to run the committee?
You have to be on the committee.
Why?
You are the committee.
Who's going to keep the minutes?
Yeah, you are the committee.
You going to trust Bruce and I to keep minutes on a meeting?
Well, I'm not reliable these days. I was going to help the convention committee, the CA convention committee for this year, but then I couldn't do it because I couldn't drive all the way out there.
Weren't you on it last year?
Year before. Yeah.
Yeah, you realize that the three of us were the only ones who were on it that weren't on it again and again and again and again. We did it, and then we like stepped away.
That's because it's somebody else's job now. I don't have to do it every year.
Yeah.
I think Mozzie is running it this time.
Yep.
I heard he resigned.
That would explain why I'm not getting any more emails.
Interesting. Uh-oh. The implosion of CA live on Recovery 101.
So who's doing it now?
I don't know. That's just a rumor. I don't know that it's true. You know how they talk.
Let's give them something to talk about. Wow. Who does that song?
Heck if I know. That's the only part I know of it.
Bonnie Raitt or someone? Do you know I saw a thing? It was like the 100 greatest guitarists of all time.
Yeah.
I'm apoplectic.
Right.
Yngwie Malmsteen did not make the list and Bonnie Raitt did. I'm like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, okay. It's not a real list, though.
Yeah, and it was done by Rolling Stone. And, like, Van Halen was, like, number two, and it was the week they put Van Halen on the cover. So you can't – that's highly suspect.
Who was number one?
Jimi Hendrix.
Probably Hendrix. Stevie
Ray.
Oh, no, he was up there. There was a lot of guys that were up there who you would expect to be up there. I mean, there was a hundred guys.
I would expect Eddie Van Halen to be on the list, but
– But Yngwie Malmsteen, this is the guy that when the one of the things from Spinal Tap, there's a thing where one of the guys from Spinal Tap goes, oh, yeah, I saw this guy, Yngwie Malmsteen, play the guitar, and I took my guitar and turned it into a frickin' coffee table because I thought, what the fuck's the point?
Yeah, you'll never play like that.
Yeah, nobody plays like that.
Yeah.
And you know who else wasn't in the top 100? Andre Segovia, who I know is not like a rock guitarist, but I mean he's a virtuoso flamenco guitarist.
Yeah.
And also, who did not make the list, who should probably be in the top 10, which you'll think is weird, is Roy Clark. Remember Roy Clark from Hee Haw?
Yeah.
Saw him once on the Mike Douglas show. This shows how long ago it was. And they have him play, and he comes out, and there's all these different stringed instruments up on stage.
Yeah, he plays all of them.
He picks up, like, this mandolin, and he's jamming on the mandolin. Of course, he plays the banjo, and he's jamming on that. He plays a steel guitar. Then he picks up, like, this Stratocaster, and he, like, goes into this gnarly, like, rock and roll riff. And Mike Douglas is like, wow, I didn't know you played rock like that. He goes, well, just because I don't choose to play it doesn't mean I can't play it.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Well, you know what that means.
It means we shouldn't subscribe to Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah, there we go.
Especially not this month.
What's this month?
The 100 Greatest Guitarists.
No, this month is not the 100 Greatest
Guitarists. Oh, yeah,
guitarists.
That's right. It's the biggest rock star bomber in the world.
Yes.
The what?
The cover of Rolling Stone, they put... You remember years and years and years ago, they created this big drama by putting Charles Manson on the cover of Rolling Stone. And they
did this
ritzy story about him. They just did the same thing with the Boston Bomber.
They did Yoker Sarnaev.
Yeah, and the picture on the cover...
Looks like
of,
Jimmy Morrison.
It's totally glamorized. I mean, he looks like a rock star on the cover. And the story, because we have it at the library, I read chunks of it, and it stops just short of calling him warm and fuzzy.
Wow.
It's horrible. And most major retailers have pulled it off their shelves. There were protests. I can't believe you didn't see it. It was all over most of the news things.
Didn't see it.
And in fact,
I thought I would have heard about it on the Boozy News, but apparently it
wasn't
big enough.
Well, you're hearing about it now.
Oh.
But,
we wouldn't even dignify it with a story.
Yeah. Well, don't.
We're talking about it now.
But it was – people were protesting it so much. So many people were so up in arms over it that I knew we were going to get complaints, so we yanked it.
I totally wouldn't buy it then.
I know we're a public institution and we're not supposed to have censorship, but it was going to cause problems with the public interacting with our employees. So it's available by request.
Let me ask you this.
You know what I'd sentence this guy to? I would tie an M80 to each digit every other day. And blow it up. So first I'd blow off a finger every other day, and then a toe every other day after that, and then...
Nards?
His junk.
But not his ears. His ears, he gets to keep.
So he can hear?
And I will tell you why.
Why?
So that every cry of every child, every frightened mother who says, "Dear God, what is that thing?" will echo in his perfect ears.
And when they look at him?
That was beautiful.
Princess Bride.
That's from the Princess Bride. Can't remember what I was going to say. At the library, you don't carry Mein Kampf?
Yes, we have Mein Kampf.
So you have a book by Hitler, but you're pulling Rolling Stones from the shelf because it might be too controversial?
Strangely enough, we never get a patron come up to the desk and scream at us for 5 minutes because we have Mein Kampf. However, we get patrons coming in and complaining because we are carrying that bombing story.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a point of that. I'm going to go in there and pitch a flipping fit.
Why?
You got Hitler's Mein Kampf in here.
I will have you escorted from the premises.
Interesting reading.
Because I am still, until September 3rd, the boss of that.
Interesting reading.
Well, that means that it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
You might want to move your microphone cord before the next show when you do that.
Well, no, that's why I was looking at it as I was standing up.
Okay.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Brian, Bill, Phil, Donald, Katie, Uck.
Uck.
Uck. Okay. This story, also out of Britain, just as Katie Uck is. We've had quite a few stories in the last year or two about all of the binge drinking going on in England and how the British teens are being, you know, ruined by all of this rampant alcohol, blah, 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 right? Well, they actually did a real study. I can't find the name of the magazine that it was published in. It was a government study that was done on exactly how much booze is purchased, who's purchasing it, you know, I mean, a real in-depth study. And they found that, actually, booze consumption among teenagers in Britain is down and has been steadily declining since 2001.
So why
was
there
broadband came to England.
They're
finding that the
everyone's online.
Behavior changes in British teenagers is that they're all online.
They're
and,
gaming.
Yes, they're all gaming. And they're not buying booze. And so these horrible stories that we're reading about these kids that get drunk, and these are one-offs. It's like a plane crash. We hear about them because they're the drama, not because that's the norm.
Now, have they found that to be true here as well?
Well, this is a British study. It wasn't done in the U.S.
No, but I wonder.
I don't know. We'd have to look at it. We'd have to take a look at it. But
because if you're playing World of Warcraft and you need to stay up for like 12 days straight, maybe... Maybe they're doing
methamphetamine.
No, speed wouldn't work. You know what? They're probably just monster drinks or something.
Meth and monster. M&M's.
In Singapore.
M&M's.
In Singapore. We're moving to Singapore.
We are.
Okay.
Yes. Why?
I'd go to Singapore.
An inventor.
It's a great place to visit, but I don't want to move there.
Do you remember we had, there was some guy in the U.S. that invented a cake, a urinal cake that talked to you to tell you not to drink and drive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, an inventor in Singapore.
It tastes good, too.
Has just, this is, it's being tested in a place called the Zook Club.
Zoop?
Zook. Z-O-U-K. The Zook Club. They're testing this out. It's a, the patron goes into the bar. In order to get admitted to the bar, they surrender their car keys and they are given an RFID card, you know.
RFID, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a little computerized card with a chip in it you can send and receive. Yeah, it scans, and you can send and receive information from it. So they get a little RFID card, and then during the evening, as they're wandering around and drinking and doing things, they go into the urinals. There's a sensor in the urinal that tests their pee and sends the data to their card that they were given when they entered the club. And if they're over the legal limit, they're not given their keys back. They are encouraged to call a friend or hire a taxi.
I got it. There's a new cottage industry starting. It's completely sober guys that stand inside the bathroom.
And
you hand them their card, they go and pee for you.
And piss on your wrist?
No, they just take the card, hand it. They go stand at the urinal and pee. Then they give you your card back.
Jeez. Now, see, that did not immediately occur to me.
That would immediately occur to me.
The fact that it immediately occurs to you is a bit worrisome.
I'm an alcoholic. I just...
Well, so am I, but it didn't occur to me.
I wonder what the legal drinking limit is there, because if you think about it, in the U.S., if you have one, you're over the legal limit. Now, people that go to bars, I don't know anybody, even normies, that go and have one.
Well, it's not, like not no any of your friends.
No one would be able to drive. Of course, we could call the tow truck that'll come and tow us home for free.
Jan's towing. This was sad. Someone defaced the Lincoln Memorial on Friday.
Green paint.
Green paint. They splattered green paint. Now, it wasn't like any gang signs or any recognizable letters or slogans or anything like that, but it was just they splashed green paint all over the Lincoln Memorial.
Okay, now tell me they caught the guy.
No.
7,000 cameras point in that area.
That's what I was going to say.
They didn't catch a guy throwing green paint on the Lincoln Memorial?
Yeah, that makes me think that if I'm a terrorist, I could do something and get away with it not too difficultly.
It says, I'm quoting the article here, no suspects have been identified. Police officials would not release the security footage because the investigation is ongoing.
Okay, they got it.
Have you seen White House Down and or Olympus Has Fallen?
I've seen Olympus Has Fallen.
It's better than White House Down. They're incredibly similar, but you know what? They make it look like... It's like not that hard to like take the White House in both of them.
Is Olympus Has Fallen John McClane running around the White House? Is it like Die Hard 6?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. Well, and so is the other one.
Okay.
They're not too different, actually. And you know what's really strange? You got two movies about the White House being taken down like in the same month that come out.
Yeah. Isn't it strange that during this presidency that they're making movies about blowing up the White House?
I know. One of them has a black president, Jamie Foxx.
Okay, we're going to Wrightwood, California.
I've been there.
Well, we don't want to go there right now.
Have you ever been to that restaurant?
Because the campground is closed.
Right on the edge of the cliff?
Yeah.
I would
because
never go to that again.
Because the squirrels have plague.
What?
Yes.
Bubonic plague?
Yes. A large portion and three of the campgrounds in the Angeles National Forest have been closed and are sealed off because they have been testing the squirrels. Somebody got sick. It was identified as the bubonic plague, and they traced it back to squirrels, and so now we're just waiting, I guess, for the squirrels to die
before we can
go back in.
Let me ask you this, because you know
it's
a lot about...
It's not really the squirrels. It's the fleas on the squirrels.
Well, you know a lot about viruses.
What?
It's time to thin the population out anyway.
We'll just ship them to Wrightwood.
If, like, coyotes or something eat said squirrel, do they get it?
I don't think so, because it doesn't...
Unless the fleas jump onto them.
Well, I don't know that bubonic plague is something animals get.
Well, but it used to be... I mean, obviously, you can transfer it because it's fleas from anything with hair,
Yersinia
I would think.
Pestis.
It used to be...
It's a certain type of flea.
It used to be for rats. You know,
yes,
I mean,
rats.
It was rats, but... apparently squirrels.
Squirrels. Any kind of rodentia, I think.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase?
Good. Good. Squirrel! It's actually it's a specific type of flea that carries it. It's Yersinia pestis is what it's called.
Okay.
Anyway.
I didn't know that.
You guys all missed, like, the smug little look Shelly got on her face when she goes, it's Yersinia pestis.
I know. I love saying that. I like medical terminology because I like being able to pronounce it because it's fun. Necrotizing fasciitis.
That's the flesh-eating disease.
Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus.
That's the staph.
And varicella zoster to you, buddy.
Look, any any medical term that's got coccus in it just sounds rude.
Caca?
Staphylococcus.
Staphylococcus.
Okay, we are in Boston.
That's staff poop.
We're in Boston. We're going to Boston
it's
now.
It's a party, party, party. Bastard. So come on.
I find the timing of this to be highly suspect. But so far the police are not saying... Oh, wait, sorry. The story's out of Boston, but it happened in San Francisco. I just got it off a Boston newspaper. Barnaby Jack, one of the white hat hackers... a hacker that was dedicated to finding the holes in things like pacemakers and ATM machines and things like that and reporting it to the companies.
Oh, right.
Yes. They call him a white hat hacker because he was dedicated to finding bugs in programs that would hurt people if it was
exploited. Started out as a hacker, as they usually do, and then these companies find guys. Bank of America sponsors a thing every year. You can hack into our system, we'll hire you.
The hack off?
That sounds rude. No, he was never one of the hackers. He was an original hacker. Back before the word hacker was turned into a bad thing.
Wow.
Hacker was somebody who could create original computer programming really fast.
Oh, this guy used to hack with an Etch-a-Sketch. How old he is. That was his first laptop.
No, actually, he's only 35. And he's dead. Two days before he was supposed to testify at a convention on medical devices about loopholes in certain things like pacemakers.
His pacemaker failed?
He didn't have a pacemaker, but suddenly he's dead. They don't know why. I find that suspicious.
Cause of death?
They don't know yet.
Bullet to the
head? They're going to conduct an autopsy. I find
that be drug overdose.
Highly suspicious.
He died.
It's going to be drug overdose.
Finally, this Bill sent this. I'm so glad that the Army is doing this. They really care about us. They really do. Because apparently of all the things that they have on their plate right now.
Oh, here we go.
The big thing is taking the lead out of bullets because they want to be more environmentally friendly. And nothing says environmentally friendly like getting riddled with 14 non-lead filled bullets.
You know what?
That's just a responsible thing to do.
You know what?
I thought you were going to do the story about the gophers.
I'm for it.
I don't see why we're spending time worrying about this, because if you're dead, why do you care about lead poisoning?
Because they're not worried about that. They're worried about pouring lead into the countryside all over the place. Lead is not really particularly healthy.
They're worried about those who miss, not those who hit.
Yeah, that's true. But then we can't use the phrase... Get the lead out and pump them full of lead. That doesn't work anymore. It was a good phrase. They just ruined it.
We can still use it.
It's the green people that ruin everything.
We can still use it.
Fill them full of steel.
That's right.
Doesn't have quite the same ring.
What if you were the Man of Steel? Never mind. Go ahead.
That sounds rude.
Go on.
That's the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us.
Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
We are.
Shout out.
Shelly, we've lost Shelly.
Well, she just did something fascinating when she was binding this off. I don't know how to do that. You have to show me that after the show.
Shout out to the New Way Foundation.
And Debbie.
And Debbie. And Sober College at SoFillHoppins.com.
We throw Bruce Way off if we don't like do it like some sort of
that's okay.
Fill in.
We got a topic suggestion.
We do.
From Carol. I'm pretty sure it was Carol. Now I hope it's Carol. And it was, take what you want and leave the rest. Which you've probably heard many times.
Huh? I always thought it was take what you need.
Why it was take what you want?
I've always heard take what you need and leave the rest.
Okay, take what you need and leave the rest.
Or in Al-Anon, in Al-Anon when I was a kid, it was take what you like and leave the rest.
Okay.
Well, okay. Oh, that's cool.
I liked all of it. All the same thing. Kind of like this show.
Yeah.
We occasionally get people that bitch. Like, they don't think we're recovering enough. Do you know when this show first started and we were like the least recovery we ever were? People would call up or write in and say, you guys are too recovery-oriented. And this was way back when we had the least recovery-oriented group we ever had. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah, this guy Lee used to say, we're too recovery-oriented for recovery show.
Ah.
But, you know, we talk about it. You know, people say, oh, you're either too much recovery, you're not
enough
recovery.
Was this while he was drinking O'Doul's on the air?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
One of my favorite shows ever, The O'Doul's Affair. Guy wanted to show that he could power down 6 O'Doul's because it's alcohol-free. And I'm like, but there's like a percentage in each of those. I'm like, does that mean I can do a gum shot and it's okay?
Sure.
Because it's just a gum shot.
You absolutely can. You absolutely can.
It's just a gum
Bruce,
shot.
If you do a gum shot and go no further than that ever, you don't ever need to say anything about it.
What?
I call shenanigans.
Trying to get your seat. That's all. He just wants you because you're climbing up the rung behind him. He wants to knock you off the ladder.
Anyone that's close.
As far away from me as he was when we started.
Yeah, and hopefully I always will be.
That's true, but you know you want to clear the ground around you.
Hopefully, he always will.
I want him there to catch me if I trip.
There you go. So the topic. Shelly, why don't you tell us what you think about the topic? Take what you want and leave the rest. Take what you need and leave the rest. Take what you like and leave the rest.
I understand where it comes from, but I personally think it's a little dangerous. If you tell a newcomer, well, you know, take what you like and leave the rest, or take what you want or whatever, you can't really cherry pick the program. First 164 pages, that's how you do it. You follow the instructions, you stay sober. If you start cherry picking things, you end up in trouble. You end up being a two-stepper.
Do you think, though, that maybe they're referring to... Because I never hear it in terms of the program. I usually hear it in terms of people that are sharing in meetings.
Oh, well, maybe I didn't look at it that way. So why don't you discuss it then?
Well, you know, there's times I've gone into meetings and I've... Maybe there's a personality issue that I'm feeling with someone. But what he's saying is really good. You know, I've heard people that have gone out and suddenly they come back and they're magically super sober again, and people kind of like push off what they say because they're like, oh, he just got loaded or something. So I never do that because I always look at some of the things they're saying is just as good if you had 30 years sober as if you had 3 days sober. It doesn't make the mess. You know, it's like look at the message and not the messenger kind of thing. Because I've had a lot of times when I've sat in meetings, I've heard, especially speaker meetings, and I hear speakers, and I'm listening, and there's some things that I'm like, it's so good, I text myself. I'm like, oh, my God, what a great thing this guy just said. And then there's other stuff they say where I'm just like, I got drool coming out of the side of my mouth, and I'm dozing off. And in those situations, those are when I'm really listening to what someone's saying, and Some of it I'm taking with me because I like it or I need it, and some of it I'm not.
That explains half of our conversations. Now I know why you need a drool rag every time we sit here and talk.
Well, I take what I need and I leave the rest.
Apparently you don't need anything from me, mister.
Just makes it fall, like I fall asleep. What do you think, Mark? Not on me falling asleep, but Shelly and I are
talking. There's a lot of things about that that are very accurate. If someone shares, it's important in this program that you pray a lot on a rug 5 times a day facing Mecca. I can take part of that with me. It's important that I pray.
That I should pray a lot.
Yeah. And you know what? And I can leave the rest because...
You're not Muslim.
I'm not Muslim. So, but you take something out of it. It's like take something of value out of every meeting you go to. There's something in every...
That would have been a great closing line right there.
Yeah, I got other ones.
You'll have another.
There's always something in a meeting that is shared or read or in some way that comes out that is of value.
Always.
When somebody walks out of a meeting and says, oh, I got nothing out of that.
Yeah, you weren't listening.
Yeah.
It's almost like the thing where they say, if you like everyone that you've met in program, you do not go to enough meetings.
That's right.
You know, if you can't get something out of a meeting, you ain't listening.
Yeah. You remember my friend Bill who came and spoke at the charter meeting, my good friends.
Oh, God, that guy was...
He shared one time something overly sexist that he shared in a meeting one time, and he said two girls came up to him afterward and said, that was the worst thing I've ever heard shared at a meeting, and he just looked at him and said, you should go to more meetings.
Yeah. This guy, he's a good example, too. This guy... He shared, he had many interesting things in his share, but he shared one time he's trying to figure out how to hide his whiskey. And he says, we don't ever eat pancakes here. So he empties out the syrup bottle and he fills it up with like Jack Daniels or whatever. And he goes, and then friends, the inevitable day happened. We had waffles. And they poured Jack Daniels on the waffles. His wife's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So Shelley. Take what you want and leave the rest. What would you tell your sponsees?
Now that we've recontextualized it for you.
Now that you've corrected me.
What would you tell your sponsees about it?
I still think it's a little dangerous.
Ooh, why?
Because
why?
If we say to people, take what you like and leave the rest, and they are those fence sitters, they're only going to hear... The stuff that makes things easy on them. They don't have to work these steps. They don't have to do this.
That's
they don't have
awesome.
To do that.
That's perfect.
That goes to the last show.
Yeah.
You're helping them to hit a better bottom.
Well, that's true. I don't know. I at least for me in my recovery, it's not necessarily a matter of take what you like and leave the rest because I listen to everybody. It's more along the lines of, take what you actually can remember and don't worry about what you forgot. Because I don't remember most of what goes on in meetings. I listen. I get the flavor of it, but I only remember a very...
You remember what you need.
Whatever God wanted...
And you
wanted,
leave the rest.
I guess so. Whatever God wanted to put in my tiny little pea brain, that's what sticks.
Just a little flavor flav.
I remember one sentence from the very first meeting I ever went to. I know that Rufus was there, and there was a girl, and I've forgotten her name, and she said, some days the best I can do is to get my head to the pillow sober. And
that's what you needed.
Every
that was the
day,
only thing
every
I heard.
Day that's the best you could do.
And that's what you needed.
Yeah.
I guess so, because I got my head to the pillow sober and I kept remembering that every day, every morning. Okay, just got to get to my head to the pillow sober. Remembered that for like 2 weeks.
I can't remember anything from the first meeting I went to. I remember that I didn't relate to anything. I'm like, he's too old, that's a chick. This guy drank 2/5 a day, none of these guys do cocaine. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. On the other hand, the first CA meeting I went to, I remember lots. Yeah. And the thing I remember mostly is who's an addict. Because I remember when I heard that, I had gone to AA, and although I'm an alcoholic, at that time, I didn't think that was my problem at all. I thought cocaine was my problem. And when I heard the who is an addict thing, never had I heard something that so correctly identified me in a random place at a place I'd never been. I'd be like, someone wrote this while watching my life. And that's what I really needed from that meeting. That is the thing that contacted me and entwined me mm-hmm. with Cocaine Anonymous. Just like I'm sure people that are pure alcoholics or mostly their drink is alcohol, and they hear Chapter 3 and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, my God. And, you know, later on when someone said, you can take Chapter 3 and substitute whatever you want in there, then I'm like, oh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that is me.
I get it now, yeah.
Yeah, that is me.
I went to a meeting, I went to a panel yesterday. Three of us went to the panel. One person shared. The entire 48 minutes.
Panel.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a panel tonight, Bruce.
Is it tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the fourth Sunday, by the way. You have a panel in about 3 hours.
I do. I do have a panel. So, that's good to remember.
But one guy did 48 minutes. Some of the best 48 minutes I've ever heard. I would book this guy to speak.
What, one guy did 48. You could book him to speak in 48 minutes. He'd be going over 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been in a room. Well, you know what? One time when you and I went and did a panel together was the only other time I remember being in a room where everybody was laughing so hard. Because in this place, the people are sitting on couches or sitting in chairs or sitting on the floor. The ones on the floor were literally rolling.
On the floor.
On the floor.
That's awesome.
He was hysterical.
I love that. So, isn't it great when you yeah. go somewhere and like the pitch is going well and people like get up out? You've seen like people get up out of their chairs and walk around a circle, and go ah!
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, have you guys been handing out acid just before this?
Normally at this panel, at the halfway point, about six or seven people get up and leave because they have a book study they go to.
Right, and nobody left.
No, actually, one girl who was sitting near me, they signaled her. She says, I'm not leaving.
Awesome.
And this was in a recovery home where they always want to leave.
And you know what? So these are guys that were hearing
it was
what
all,
they needed.
It was all girls, and he was hysterical. So it was just, you know.
The very first time I ever spoke on a panel at Prototypes, mm-hmm. they used to have it in the cafeteria and big, long tables. And I remember that when I went, everyone was there. I mean, there was like 200 girls in this room.
It was a lockdown situation?
Well, I don't know if it was mm-hmm. a lockdown, but there was a lot of girls. And mm-hmm. it wasn't like when we go. I mean, this place was full. Mm-hmm. And this guy, John, and John was pretty funny as well. This guy's sponsor went first, and he's very programming. You know, John and I, a little more from the hip, you know. And when we went to leave, John and I are getting numbers, you know, phone numbers.
Yeah.
And his sponsor comes up and goes, what are you guys doing? We're like, well, we're getting numbers. He's like, they're in a recovery home.
Yeah.
We're like, they'll get out. he's like, give me – he took the pieces of paper we had and tore them up right in front of us. I'm like, oh.
You guys are rock stars.
Well, I found a lot of rock. I don't know if I was a star. So, Shelley.
Back to the subject.
Yeah. You have any comments?
No. Not on those things. I was listening to fascinating stories.
Yeah, you know what this is? You know how she said she listens, but she doesn't really remember anything?
Uh-huh.
What were we talking about?
You were talking about being on panels and talking on panels, and the guy was hilarious.
Yeah.
And you were talking about getting the phone numbers from the girls on the panel. And the guy said, they're in a recovery home.
And you didn't need any of that, so you just left it.
Yes, I just left and I didn't need any of that.
So she heard all
now,
of that.
Now, when you were in a place,
yes.
Panel came in.
Yes.
And did you find yourself enthralled with what they were doing or not so much? Or did you take what you needed?
I don't really remember what they said. There were only, because I was in charter, but I wasn't on... In the,
like the drug and alcohol.
The drug
unit.
And alcohol, because I was there just playing nuts.
Oh, you were in the whack farm.
I was in the lockdown whack job unit. But there were enough of us in that unit that also qualified for CD issues that they sent the panel in there. I remember there were like out of probably 15 people patients, I think three of us went to the panel, but I don't remember what they really talked about.
Awesome.
I that was also when they were trying to acclimate me to lithium.
Ooh.
To help me with my bipolar issue. So
Ooh.
There were other factors at play there.
Okay.
I remember when we were doing the show then. Shelly would stop in mid-sentence.
I would stop.
Just
not
like
only,
that.
Yeah. Not only stop in mid-sentence, but then like a few seconds later I'd say, what did I just say? Because I could
Med
not.
Med 6?
Yeah.
Shelly wants.
Stuff would be coming out of my mouth and my brain would finally catch up and say, whoa, we're talking. What are we saying? I don't know.
You know, I don't know how many people, though, Bruce, really remember much of anything about their first meeting. Because if it's your first meeting, that means the thing you were doing before that
is getting loaded.
Is getting loaded.
Yeah, and I think I spent most of my first meeting like looking around the room, feeling unsure. Why am I here? Should I be here? Yeah. Is that coffee free? That dude's got cookies. Can I get cookies? You know, I mean, that was my whole thought process.
Yeah,
they're giving out cake. Should I signal them that I want cake? Because I don't really, because I don't really know any of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I deserve cake?
Yeah.
Can I get the cake with more frosting
if
on
I
it?
If I just sit here, will they bring me cake? Mm-hmm.
And then they say, newcomers, come and take a chip. I'm like, should I take a chip? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And you know, you notice
chip,
the thing when you're brand new in a meeting, they go, we're giving out newcomer chips, and you look, and everyone in the room looks at you. You're like, I guess I'm the new guy.
Yeah.
But wait, that other guy already took a chip. Maybe he's the newcomer.
That's right.
So, Shelly, what was your final words on take what you want and leave the recipe? Or take what you need or take what you like or take it. Flavor Flav.
I think that whatever you take out of meetings, whatever you consider necessary to your growth that you take out of meetings, you will grow in proportion to how much you took away.
There you go. Mark, what would your final words be?
Really?
What?
Peanut Gallery Debbie's over here clapping to that one.
If you sit in meetings and you sit there and go, I don't, you're not taking anything away, you're not going to grow. What was the really for? Why did I have to explain myself? Okay, bye-bye.
Ding, ding. Round one.
Okay, bye. You can't cape by me. That's not right.
Okay.
Yeah, what are your final words, Mark?
Same thing I said at the beginning. You need to find something of value in every meeting you go to.
I think my final words, you guys hear them often.
If you like what you're getting.
Well, that would be keep doing what you're doing, but that's not what I was going to say.
What were you going
to
say?
Now I forgot. Try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
How does that even play there? We'll take them, but that's
because.
Well, but we haven't done the other crap first.
No,
I can't
know.
Say that yet.
But it's my final words for this, because you know what? If you're leaving it better than you found it, you're probably contributing better to the meeting and being the example by listening to everyone and everything they say.
So if you didn't get anything out of the meeting, maybe you were the one who contributed to it?
Could be.
You were the share of the night. Like you usually are, Bruce. You were the share of the night.
No. Not so much. Not so much lately either. Mark,
right.
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat?
Here on the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
Comic-Con. Oh, we'll really get sued for that. Comic-Con.
Nice. You can read Comic-Chameleon online. You can get it emailed to you, get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he'll send you some hard copies to strew about the facility.
Awesome. Shelly, people are listening to The Really Big Shoe.
Thank you. Any way that you can listen to the show is awesome, but if you could go to recovery101.net.
That's our site.
And click on one of the shows. If you are a member of Podomatic and you click like, you will have been counted, and that helps us with our numbers. If you're not a member, you will be able to become a member. It's free.
And fun.
And you can follow us. You can ask to playlists. You can like old shows and leave topic suggestions and comments. And it's all good. Thank you.
And if you're a Facebook type of person, you can look up, you can join and like the fan page at Recovery 101 Radio Show. And there's also a closed group called Recovery 101. And on that one, if you'd like to join that group, you can do it. You will be anonymous to the rest of your Facebook. So if you're one that is quite anonymous online, you can talk some recovery and stuff in there. You can also banter about with the people that you hear that find us boozy news every week. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that's recovery101radio@gmail.com. I actually heard from someone yesterday who wants to sell advertising that you know.
Oh.
That you sponsored.
Oh, okay. I probably still sponsor him.
You probably do.
Yeah.
Called me yesterday, like out of the blue.
Good. I told him to call you 3 weeks ago, so he's right on schedule.
There you go. Let's see. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself too damn seriously.
Shelly?
Strangely All Right is our band of the month.
That would be the lead out music. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
To me, what I have.